If you've been here on Good Friday when Father Gregory, with the candidates and catechumens, processes with the empty cross, stopping at times to chant that verse, you know how hauntingly beautiful those moments can be. It's like that with the cross. This harsh, cruel instrument of torture has been transformed forever because of the salvation it represents through Jesus' saving act. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Triumph of the Holy Cross. This feast has been celebrated for almost 1,700 years, since an early 320, when St. Helena, mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine, went to Jerusalem in search of the holy places of Christ's life. She razed the second century temple of Venus in Jerusalem, which tradition held was built over the Savior's tomb. And her son built the Basilica of the Holy Sepulchre over the tomb. During the excavation, workers found three crosses. And legend has it that the one on which Jesus died was identified when its touch healed a dying woman. The cross immediately became an object of veneration. At Good Friday celebrations in Jerusalem toward the end of the 4th century, according to an eyewitness, the wood was taken out of its silver container and placed on a table together with the inscription Pilate ordered over placed above Jesus' head. Then, all the people passed through one by one, all of them bowed down, touching the cross and the inscription, first with their foreheads, then with their eyes, and after kissing the cross, they move on. And we continue a tradition just like that on Good Friday. The Feast of the Triumph of the Holy Cross also celebrates another historic event, the dedication in 335 of the Basilica and shrine built on Calvary by Constantine, which marks the site of the crucifixion. Constantine's church was built as two connected churches over the two different holy sites, including the great basilica, an enclosed collodium atrium with the traditional site of Golgotha on one corner, and a rotunda, which contained the remains of a rock-cut room that was identified as the burial site of Jesus. In his homily from last year on this feast day, Pope Francis said that it is in the mystery of the cross that we find the story of mankind and the story of God, synthesized by the fathers of the church in the comparison between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in paradise and the tree of the cross. He says, one tree has brought so much evil, the other tree has brought us salvation to health. This is the course of humanity's story, a story to find Jesus the Redeemer, who gives his life for love. God, as the gospel says, has not sent the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This tree of the cross saves us, all of us, from the consequences of that other tree. The tree where self-sufficiency, arrogance, the pride of us wanting to know all things according to our own mentality, according to our own criteria, and also according to that presumption of being and becoming the only judges of the world. He finishes by saying, this is the story of mankind, moving from one tree to another. I love it. The idea of moving from one tree to the other, representing our own personal movement from the things of this world, where we think we are God, to the kingdom of God, where we live in the faith and knowledge of the love of our God, who provides for us and loves us, body, mind, and soul. It is easy, I think, for us to focus on the instrument. Why Jesus died in such a horrible way. And maybe start thinking that suffering is the way to salvation. But I think it's important to view the crucifixion in light of Jesus' obedience. It's the same with the saints and martyrs. It's not for their suffering we call them holy. It's for their obedience and the desire to be like Jesus through the suffering that we call them holy. Notwithstanding physical suffering, which can certainly become burdensome and painful, the crosses we bear in our lives today are the struggles we have with our willfulness, selfishness, and fear as we resist being obedient to God. Those are the things that get in our way of being holy. As we look back on today's gospel in the light of faith, perhaps we might ask ourselves what all these things mean to us. For the faith of which our Lord speaks is not just an intellectual acceptance of the truths he has taught. It involves recognizing him as the Son of God, sharing his very life and surrendering ourselves, becoming obedient out of love, and therefore becoming like him. But we need to recognize that this faith is a gift of God, and we should ask him to strengthen it and increase it as the apostles did when they asked, Lord, increase our faith. Faith is a gift, but it's also a virtue, a good habit, which a person can practice and therefore develop. So we need, with the help of grace, to make explicit acts of faith in order to make this virtue grow. We need to practice trusting God in all things. Especially, we need to trust the words from today's gospel in John 3:16, so charged with meaning, that summarize how Christ's death is the supreme sign of God's love for man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son for its salvation. All our religion is a revelation of God's kindness, mercy, and love for us. Remember, God is love. That is, love poured forth unsparingly. All our faith is summed up in this supreme truth. It explains and illuminates everything. The story of Jesus must be seen in the light of this truth. He loves me, St. Paul wrote. Each of us might do well to repeat it to ourselves. He loved me and gave himself for me. For Christians, the cross is the crossroads of history and the tree of life. Christianity without the cross is meaningless. Only by uniting ourselves to Christ's sacrifice, to Christ's obedience, to take up our own crosses and follow him, can we enter eternal life. Pope Francis reminds us in another writing, the cross is not an ornament that we must always put in churches, there on the altar. It is not a symbol distinguishing us from others. The cross is mystery, the mystery of God who humbles himself. He becomes nothing. He becomes a slave. I find it easy to lose the awareness of what the cross means, for it to become commonplace, to let it lose its power to remind me of the greatest act of love ever known. Let us commit to ourselves to not let this happen, as we hear in this feast day, the echoes of Good Friday, to behold the Lamb of God today, for by whose wounds we are healed. Amen.